God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be made known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. May we pray. Our God and our Redeemer, bless this gathering through the manifestation of thy Spirit shed abroad in our hearts, as thou dost minister to each of our every needs. Make us aware of the claims of thy Spirit upon our lives. Open our blind eyes to the vision of what thou would have us to become, and grant us the strength and the faith to achieve that call. Forgive the sins and transgressions of our hearts as we confess them. Cleanse our hearts by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
the Student Coordinating Council, it is my pleasure to introduce to those of you who may not be acquainted with him, our colleague and fellow student, Dr. Alton Hood. He is a native of North Carolina and received his Doctor of Medicine degree from the University of Tennessee in 1959. He has served in the state of Washington in the Yakima area to the Indians in 1961 and 1962. His general surgical training was completed at Wake Memorial Hospital in Raleigh, 1962-64. By December of this year, he will complete his theological studies as a follow-up to his appointment by the Foreign Mission Board as missionary to Thailand. Brother Hood, his wife, and four children are scheduled to depart to their field of service in January of 1966. We are privileged to have Brother Hood lead our worship this morning.
Shall we pray?
Lord, we're grateful today for this privilege it is ours to be here in this family of worship and fellowship and Christian growth. We ask now in these few moments together that thou wilt guide our thinking and our thoughts. May the Holy Spirit of God lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank thee for that blessed promise that wherever we go proclaiming Christ, that he is with us even unto the end of the world. We would thank thee in advance now for the blessings we're about to receive as we worship together. For we pray in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. It is indeed a high privilege for me to be here today. And I would take this opportunity to express my gratitude to the seminary, and in particular to my professors, and for the administration, and all those who made it possible for us to be here today. I thank God for men like you who are dedicated to the task that is before us here in this theological training. In some way, however, I feel today like a first-day medical student trying to demonstrate the intricacies of the human brain to a neuroanatomist. I'm also reminded of what my patients ask me many times prior to surgery or their family, "Doctor, is this a major or a serious operation?" And someone has defined a minor operation as an operation on somebody else. Well, this is major today for me, and this is serious. I wish in these few moments not to present to you any scholarly paper, since I'm not capable of that anyway. I want only to share with you something of why we're going to Thailand, and in so doing, a little of what I consider my philosophy of life, which I believe to be based upon the Word of God. In doing this, however, I shall try to be true to an old proverb that says, "He who thinketh by the inch and speaketh by the yard ought to be kicked with a foot." In January of 1966, my wife, four children, and I will get on a boat in San Francisco for Hong Kong, from which we'll fly to Bangkok, Thailand for, yes, two more years of study in language. Prior to going out to our place of assignment at the Southern Baptist Hospital in Bong Kla, Thailand, 70 miles east of Bangkok, to a land that is 98% Buddhist, a land where you're not considered patriotic to the country unless you're a Buddhist, people who are friendly, yet people who are difficult to reach for Christ. Why are we going? Some time ago, at a meeting at a surgeon's home in Raleigh, some people with whom I associate, nurses and doctors, a young doctor asked my wife this question: "Why doesn't your husband give up that foolish idea of going to Thailand and stay in this country and make a lot of money?" That's a question we must answer. Why are we going? She answered him by saying, "Well, you know, there are a lot of things that money can't buy." He dropped his head and said, "Yes, there are," because he himself at that time was separated from his own family. I, first of all, in trying to tell you why we are going, must mention a couple of reasons why we're not going particularly, although this is part of our call maybe, but this is not our primary reason for going. We're not going to Thailand with medicine and the gospel primarily because the need is so great as compared to America. The late Dr. Tom Dooley said that he went to help those people in that part of the world because they ain't never had it so good. Well, that ain't the reason we're going. Primarily, that's not the reason. That is part of it indeed. Nor are we going primarily because of the command of Christ. But we're going because we have a sense of direction, a leadership of the Spirit of God, a call, if you will, a tug, a pull, that this is what we must do. This is not what we must do so much as what we want to do. My call came to me not by some dramatic vision in the night, but seemed to me a very natural thing through the influence of a Christian home, Christian parents, pastors, missionaries, and friends over a period of years. long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a doctor, and at the age of 9, I was converted, came to know Christ. I'd be the first to admit that I didn't understand it all then, nor do I understand it all now, but I'm growing. Christ means more to me every day as I walk with Him. I like to think of my Christian life somewhat like being married. I married my wife 10 years ago at a certain date in a little church in Canada. I didn't marry a house. I married a woman, a person who's alive and real. And when I began my walk with Jesus Christ, I began it with a person. He's very real to me. I walk with Him. When I married my wife 10 years ago, I thought I loved her, but I didn't really, not compared to now. My love for Christ has grown as I've walked hand in hand with Him. He's been very personal and very alive and very real and very meaningful to me. At the age of 14, I made a public commitment of my life to Christ for medical missionary service. That was 19 years ago last month. These past 19 years, I've been in some type of constant training, preparing for what we believe to be God's special place of call for us. I would be the first to emphasize to you that I do not believe that my place of service is any more important than yours, nor do I believe that I am any more missionary than you are. I believe that God has called every one of us to be missionaries wherever we are. Not our responsibility, but our privilege. We count it a privilege that God has called us and that we can serve Him. Medically speaking, in my philosophy, I believe that all healing is divine. We have a phrase that we sometimes say in medicine that the doctor only treats, the Lord does the curing. And I think it's something we need to remind ourselves. I also believe that all of life is sacred. The way I practice medicine is just as important as standing here before you this morning or going to Thailand. This is a part of my testimony for Christ as I witness for Him. I believe that my philosophy of life is based upon the Word of God and is based upon a vital living experience with Jesus Christ. And it's very real to me, as I said to you a moment ago. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is the only hope of the world. I do not believe that He is a way. I believe He is the way, the truth, and the life, as He said. If I were not convinced of that, I certainly would not go to Thailand. As I frequently give my testimony, I express my conviction and my belief by stating there are two things that I know for sure. In these questions are implied answers to many other questions, but I believe that these two things that I say that I know for sure answer the two most important and basic questions of life, and that is this. I know where I'm going, and I know that all along life's way, all will be well for me. And you might say, you fool, how do you know that? I know it because it is based upon the Word of God and is based upon an experience of having walked with Christ. And His Spirit communes with my spirit and says to me that I am His and He is mine. Talking about this matter of experience, and as you well know and as many have pointed out to us, most things have to be experienced to be appreciated. I remember so well in medical school, professor standing up and talking about how to diagnose appendicitis. It sounded very simple and easy. But I tell you, brother, it's not easy sometimes in the middle of the night and you're dealing with a fretful child and an even more fretful mother or grandmother, and you're trying to decide whether or not this child needs to have an appendectomy. And after having dealt with hundreds and even thousands of patients in this state, I feel that now, after all this time, I can be fairly certain most of the time about this. Why? On the basis of an experience. And I know that I belong to Christ and He belongs to me on the basis of an experience. You say, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. You say, where is heaven? I don't know where it is. You say, it's up there. All right. When I get to Thailand, I'm halfway around the world. You point one way and I'm pointing the other. is where God is. And I know where I'm going. It gives me purpose and direction in life. True it is, it's important, as someone has said also, where we came from, but more important it is to know where we're going. I witnessed at our hospital one night to a Catholic young man. And we were talking about our faith and our belief and comparing it. And I said to him, I said, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? And he stuttered and hauled around a little bit. And he said, well, I know where I would like to go. And I said, that's the difference in what you believe and what I believe. I know where I'm going. It gives me purpose and direction. I don't know when I'm going or how I'm going, but I know where I'm going. This, again, is based upon the Word of God. Nowhere in the Bible do I find these uncertain terms that I ask many times a person, are you a Christian? They say, well, I think so. I'm trying to be. I hope so. Nowhere in the Bible do I find any uncertain terms like these. It seemed ridiculous for someone to hear Paul say, I think I'm a Christian. Paul came back with that resounding, I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The second thing I said that I knew for sure is that I know that all along life's way, all will be well for me. Mind you, I didn't say that it all would be like I wanted it to be. And who am I to know what's best for me anyway? And my dearly beloved ministers of the gospel, let me be a little more personal, if I may, at this point, because I have seen an increasing number of ministers who seem to have a tremendous difficulty in this area. In this matter of this calmness of soul and knowing that all will be well. Again, this is based upon the Word of God, Romans 8:28. For we think that some things work together for good to them that love the Lord. That's the way we live, isn't it? It doesn't say it like that in my Bible. It says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I believe also that it's a sin to worry. Based again upon the Word of God that says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can't show me any element of faith whatsoever in worry. It's doubt. It's the opposite of faith. Because if you knew that things were going to turn out like you thought they would, you wouldn't worry about them, would you? Now, where do we draw the line between worry and concern? Concern, I believe, is doing something about that which you can. It's the action. Beyond that is prayer, and it's God's business beyond that point. And how many of us are nervous and anxious and fretted, and our lives are not as useful as they ought to be for God, because at this point in our lives, we are frustrated and anxious. And we have not learned to be content. I like so very much the verse of Scripture that was read yesterday morning here in this chapel, or the verses taken from Paul's writings in the 4th chapter of Philippians. One translation renders it, do not worry about anything. And God, when he always gives us command, he also follows that up with the how. But pray about all things with thanksgiving. And I say to you as a Christian brother, as a minister, as a physician, I believe as much as I believe anything that there is no greater tranquilizer in the world than prayer. And someone put it this way, why worry when you can pray? I believe that all will be well for us. In closing, I would quote for you something that was said by a young missionary who was killed in South America. You will recall the 5 young men who were killed several years ago. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Shall we bow in prayer? Lord, we thank thee for these moments together with the precious word of God, for Christian teachers, friends, ministers of the gospel, those who have nurtured us through the years in the faith and have brought us to this hour. We ask now thy blessings upon us as we go, that thou wouldst quicken our hearts and minds to be better servants of thine. For we ask it in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen.